Hey, it's Garen here. Inflation keeps rising. There won't be a better time than right now to replace the roof following the storm damage. Let the Shamrock team treat you to a free inspection and we'll replace the damage with the best roof at the best price. One call does it all at shamrockroofer.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's a postseason Red Friday, so we have an abbreviated Border Patrol fast break. So let's get to it. We'll start with Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star.
Kansas!
Jesse, good morning. Thank you for joining us on the show. Let's start with the last game, a disappointing loss, 75-70 to Oklahoma State. But it looked like it was going to be a blowout. They were down 16 with like 9 minutes left and made a furious comeback and actually took a three-point lead late. And then Oklahoma State closed the show. What are your main takeaways from that five-point loss to Oklahoma State?
Well, yeah, Bill Self's main takeaway is just that he needs to figure out a way to get his guys to guard a little bit better, because KU's comeback with that came because they played some junk defenses, as Bill Self would call it. They played some 2-3 zone and then a lot of triangle and two. So they did more of tricking Oklahoma State than they did really stopping them. And while KU does deserve credit for the comeback, that's really not the way that Bill Self wants to play. We know he wants to have man-to-man defense that gets after you and makes it difficult for their teams to get easy shots, and that didn't happen for the first, 15 to 20 minutes of that game. That's what put KU in that hole. So lots of things for KU to work on, and obviously this will be a big 3 or 4 day stretch with them, with Iowa State and then going to Baylor. But, this KU team still feels like it needs an identity or is searching for an identity and doesn't seem to have it quite yet.
Okay, Jesse, so you mentioned Iowa State Saturday at 1 o'clock, then at number 2 Baylor at 8 o'clock on Big Monday. I don't know if we need to spend too much time on Iowa State. If you feel like we do, then go ahead and correct me if I'm wrong here. But since we won't talk to you before the Baylor game, what do you think of that matchup? How big is that game for KU on Big Monday?
Well, it's huge if they want to have any chance in the Big 12 race, you would think, just because they're already 4-2 and Baylor's looking to kind of run away with this thing with as good as they've been this year. And I did some of this research yesterday. I posted on Twitter, but this is going to be a different sort of game, because as it stands right now, KU should be about an 8-point underdog in that game in Waco. And I looked it up. Bill Self has never been an 8-point underdog at Kansas.
Wow.
So
wow.
This is a different sort of thing that is going to happen on Monday. Like I said, do you ever count Bill Self or KU out of big games? You don't. KU won a game at Kentucky a couple years back, 3 or 4 years ago, when they were 6.5 or 7-point underdogs. So, again, you never rule them out, but this is going to be a bigger challenge than KU has faced, honestly, in the Bill Self era. So that'll be an interesting game to watch. But, again, if KU wants to really hang in this race, it's a game they almost have to have, and it's going to be a very difficult one to win.
Jesse, thank you very much for the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
And I want to remind people, big Saturday and big Sunday on Sports Radio 810. Saturday, Track Talk 8 a.m., Sports Saturday with Ali Trost at 9, then Kansas pregame at 11:30, Kansas against Iowa State at 1 o'clock, then Kansas postgame will lead you into the doubleheader we have, Rams at Packers, Ravens at Bills. That's all Saturday right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Now let's check in with Gabe DeArmond.
Missouri.
Hello there, Gabe. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm good. How about you?
Do you remember the last time as you played basketball?
Vaguely. If I recall, it didn't go very well. Yeah, it was like a week off. It was weird.
Is this, considering the way that game went, you think it's a good idea that they'd like to play, I'm sure, but maybe this could actually help them and try to reset things, because they are 1-2 in the conference, and if they lose coming up at Texas A&M, that would be 1-3, and that would certainly not be the start that anyone anticipated.
Yeah, I don't know. I think anytime you have a break, you say, hey, it's good, we needed a break, that's what we want. And anytime you don't have a break, you say, no, we just want to keep playing, that's good, that's what we want. You just kind of deal with whatever's in front of you. This really is, though, a game. I mean, they can't afford to lose this game if they want to be what people, kind of hope they are and what they think they are. This is the type of game at College Station you got to go win. I think the loss at Starkville was, obviously they should have won that game. I think what it did is kind of removed a little margin for error, right? Just one of those games that you felt like you probably should have had and you dropped. That means games like this one at A&M on Saturday become even more important.
So this Texas A&M team, they're coming off of what must have been just a thrilling game to watch, 56-55. Not exactly an offensive showcase, but they won it by one against Mississippi State. So what are the Tigers looking at in this Aggies team?
Yeah, the last four games A&M has played in the SEC, they've scored 54, 54, 56, and 54. So that seems to be kind of the blueprint. I talked to somebody that covers A&M yesterday and said, what's kind of the target? Like, does A&M need to keep the game under 70? And he said, 70 is probably a little high. Once you get into the mid-60s, they have a hard time winning. So this is like, I mean, settle in for a rock fight tomorrow. You know, first 1-60 probably wins the way Missouri's been shooting so well.
Gabe, final score between the Chiefs and Browns on Sunday, please.
41-26 Chiefs. How's that sound?
So you're not concerned at all. 15-point victory, they're going to cover. Don't worry about it.
No, a little. You never know. But, like, on a scale, I mean, if you could play the playoffs without ever playing any good teams, I would prefer that. But if they had to play a playoff team, this is the one I would have wanted them to play. But if we can set it up so it's like the Jets, Broncos, and, you know, somebody else on the way to the Super Bowl, that would be great.
Hey, the Jets beat the Browns 3 weeks ago, all right? So that's reminder of what the Browns can be. And as a Chiefs fan, who are you hoping for in the AFC Championship game, Bills or Ravens?
Bills, and I don't really know why. I just kind of trust the Ravens to play well in that spot more than I do the Bills. So I'm rooting for the Bills.
Thank you, Gabe DeArmond from PowerMizzou.com. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
You know, I am going to have a good one. I'm going to take him up on that offer. Still snowing, by the way. Nate, are you aware of the snow yet out there?
Yes, the snow. I can see the snow coming down now.
I mean, the wind is crazy.
Yeah. I don't want to go outside.
I kind of do. Just kind of want to roll around like a dog out there.
No, you don't.
I just got done watching my dogs rolling around. They look like they're having fun. How about that, Jake? Should I go out there with Danny and Augie and roll around in the backyard?
Yeah, do some snow angels, man. Do some Mahomes angels.
They were barking at the snow. They're chasing squirrels. They're having a blast out there. That looks like fun. Let's have a blast now with our good friend Jay Heidrich.
Kansas State.
Hello, Jay. How are you?
Good, guys. What's happening?
Well, Nate just realized it's snowing, so he's on top of things. Did you know it was snowing?
Yeah, unfortunately, I did. You know, I'm very excited when it snows and it's cold, and that really is one of the things I hate most about living in Kansas.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning with Jay Heidrich.
You didn't fake that for very long. Oh, I'm really excited about it.
I am not a cold weather person, for sure. I'd rather have it be 100 degrees and 20 degrees, because at least if it's 100 degrees, I can go get a cocktail and sit by the pool. But here, I just got to sit here and complain about how cold it is.
Have yourself a hot toddy and sit by the fire.
Get a cocktail
and
sit by the fire, right. Nate will find any way to have a cocktail.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
Guys,
hot or cold.
If there's one thing I don't want to do anymore since March, it's be inside. So
yeah, I hear that.
As we've seen over the past 15 years, any problem, Nate says, get hammered.
That's right.
Now let's
put your problems away.
Yeah. Let's get to Kansas State basketball. Okay, last game they lost 70-54 to Oklahoma State. Then their game against Iowa State was postponed, and that sucks because, you know, sandwiched in between that Oklahoma State and Texas, the Texas game coming up, that looked like a real chance to get a win and end the three-game losing streak, so they missed that opportunity. So maybe take us through what the mindset is after that loss to Oklahoma State and what you thought of the game.
Yeah, you know, it kind of went exactly how I thought it would, you know, especially with K-State being down players. They were just outgunned and they were tired and just ran out of gas. They did a really good job on Cade Cunningham. I think he only attempted three shots. And but they didn't have the firepower that Oklahoma State did. And this is where, you know, I thought early in the season, this is where it's going to get really interesting for basketball. Everyone talked about football and how they've been in a bubble since August and things like that. But a lot of people don't realize how long the basketball season is. I mean, they get there in August, and those kids have been in the bubble too, just like the football team, only they didn't go home for Christmas break except for maybe a couple days. They didn't have a fall break, you know, for all the days off that you get in the spring. They're not going to do that. So it is a long season, particularly when you're sitting around at on campus and nobody's there. And so this is where it's going to get really interesting for teams that are struggling like K-State. How disciplined are you going to be with your COVID protocols now? Are you willing to have the same sacrifice, have the same discipline when things aren't going so well and you've lost a few games and the season's struggling on and it's cold and snowing and no one's on campus and you're tired and sore? Are you willing to have that same discipline? Because it's really going to affect the season moving forward. We talk about how Iowa State's been postponed, and that was a chance to get a win. You know, another thing you can look at too is that this may happen for K-State down the road, where they get a chance to beat a team that they otherwise may not be able to beat or be favored to win. So it can go both ways if they can remain disciplined and maybe get some opportunities that otherwise they hadn't anticipated.
So instead of getting to play that team that could have been a win, like you said, against Iowa State, the one team Kansas State has beaten in the Big 12, now instead they go to number 4 Texas, who might be a little mad because they just lost the last second game to one of their in-state rivals, Texas Tech. Can the Wildcats catch Texas napping? What do you expect in this game?
I think Texas is going to be a heavy favorite, as they should be. You know, Texas just has way more experience. They're really, really long. They're athletic. They can shoot the ball. They have Jericho Sims inside, who's a force. And, you know, K-State has Davion Bradford, who's done really well this year, particularly as a freshman. But, you know, I don't think it's realistic to say that he's the same player Jericho Sims is right now. And that K-State, with its youth, can match up. This has the potential to be a really long night for K-State. And the biggest danger for K-State here is that Texas is going to feed into that ragtag, put up whatever shot you want to put up offense that has gotten K-State in trouble at times this year. K-State shoots the three way too much. Texas shoots the three way too much. Only Texas makes more of them. And if Texas can lure K-State into that up and down, pull up for three, take threes early in the shot clock, then it's going to be a long night for K-State. I think K-State's best chances here are to try to run some offense, try to shorten the game, lower the possessions, play good defense like they've done at times this year and the Bruce Weber teams have been known for historically at K-State. If they can do that, they'll have a shot, but you know, right now with their injuries and with COVID, you know, I think Texas is going to be a pretty heavy favorite going into that game.
Jay, thank you for the time. We will talk to you next week.
All right, guys.
That's our man, Jay Heidrick, talking K-State basketball. And again, it's very windy, very strong wind gusts out there. And there's snow on the ground and snow still coming down. So if you have not gotten out on the streets yet and you have to drive someplace, give yourself some extra time. Be careful because there are plenty of reports of wrecks out there on the streets in and around Kansas City. So, again, the weather's getting a little bit bad. The wind is very strong. And depending on where you are, there's a lot of snow coming down. Or if you're like Nate, there's no snow anywhere. He is, you know.
Nope, it's actually sunny out here.
Right. Oblivious, and that makes it better. Thank you to Gabe DeArmond. Thank you to Jesse Newell and Jay Heidrick. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.